Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. My guest this evening is Esti Berkowitz, social media strategist and founder of lifestyle blog Primetime Parenting. Good evening, Esti.
Hi, Chaim. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's always a pleasure. Now, Esti, how did you get to be the Esti that you are today? In other words, what motivated you in your lifetime, in your life's journey, to A, become from, B, write about, write and blog, and be featured in magazines?
Thank you. That's such a great question. And I don't know how much time we have, maybe 30 minutes, but I'm going to really cut it down because there's a lot to be said there. And your first question about the from part, and actually I was not raised in an Orthodox home. In fact, I was raised in a very Jewish, suburban, you know, Chicago suburb home. Sunday was lox and bagel day. We went to the synagogue for high holidays, and that was really it. And I believe that my parents had a passion for Israel, and they went in the 70s with the rabbi of our shul, who was, I believe, very much a part of my process. And the seed was planted even back when I was a kid with this rabbi, Rabbi Samuel Dresner. He's a wonderful, wonderful rabbi, and Alav Shalom, he was wonderful. So my parents go with him to Israel, and they come back with a spark in them, and my dad was an artist, so I saw all these paintings coming up, Yerushalayim, you know, pictures they had taken on their journey. And even though I was a young girl, I knew there was some connection that was very important. And you could fast forward, my life was very much secular. We did not have a kosher home. And I did happen to go on a trip to Israel after college. And then I got a taste of Israel, more, you know, not just being there, but the food, the people. And it was after that point, over the next 8 years, that I went back a couple more times because I was pulled in that direction. And I said to myself, here I am working in corporate America. I had a marketing job at a big corporation. I was traveling around. And this piece of Israel was in me, but I didn't know how to bring it together. So, of course, I went back for another trip. What else do people do? And, you know, traded in my corporate credit card, I say. And in return, I found my spirituality. So the journey really started at a young age. And you have to know, really in my 30s is when I went to Israel and I left the job and I, you know, sublet my apartment and I had this really cool convertible Toyota Celica, you know, and everything was put to the side. And I said, you know, I'm going to go for 1 month. And that month turned into 6 because I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. It just made sense. So that started the journey in my 30s. And then I just took everything else on. And what's interesting about the processes, especially in a family, a Jewish family growing up, you know, eating is a big issue. You know, where are we going to eat? We always were thinking about food. So when I became kosher, everybody got very scared. So it was my mission, you know, and especially I was living in Chicago, and this is going back about 16 years. So there really wasn't what there is today. And that's really what gets us soon to where I'm going to talk about the kosher feast piece. But there wasn't. And everybody said, oh, my goodness, these places are dirty. They're not. It's just pizza. And in the years since I became kosher, things have just changed tremendously. So the family now is very accepting of kosher. and our food. From the point where they were so scared, what are we going to do? In fact, it's a funny story. When my parents met my husband's parents for the first time, they said, so, is your kid as kosher as ours? Do you think we can eat out still at restaurants? So, as you can see, it's a big part of the Jewish American experience. So, again, the from part really, it came from the early days of planting the seed and then coming to it on my own, really, and just that taste of Israel, which is one of my biggest things, which I love what's going on with Birthright and all these programs, is getting people to Israel, really, to get that sense of, you know, it's not just matzo balls and borscht. You know, it's all these wonderful foods, Moroccan, you know, Syrian. I mean, the tastes are just amazing. So, again, like what they say, you know, you do kind of get to people through their stomach. I definitely believe that is true.
Now, let me ask you one question. You mentioned that when you went back the second time to Israel, that was your spiritual awakening. What exactly triggered that awakening aside from your interest in Israel?
That's a great question. I really want to give credit to the people who run these programs in Israel. There's actually something called Leave Note, Lehiba Note, and the Boetzer family, I believe that's their name, I hope it's correct, but they're a family from the Midwest that came to Israel probably 30-something years ago, and made this program for people, for kids in the U.S. or England or wherever, you know, to come and get a sense of building Israel. But they do it with putting you in the most beautiful spot. So we were in Tzfat watching the sunset. We got together. We made the Shabbos meal. We had deep discussions. I never knew that could happen, believe me. I never knew a dinner party could be so exciting. And I'd been to many dinner parties at that point, you know. But this was so interesting. The conversation was deep, you know. You know how you go places and it's small talk. It's like, oh, so what do you do? Oh, yeah, who do you know? Where did you go to school? Oh, do you know this family and this bit? You know, I loved what was going on. So it was like I was connected. And I'm like, I want to bring this back to where I came from. And thankfully, and as you know, when you meet like-minded people, you're set. Then they connect you to other like-minded people. But it took that journey, you know, all the ways from suburban Chicago to sitting and watching the sunset in Tzfat to make that connection.
Very nice. Now, let's talk a little bit about Primetime Parenting.
Yes, thank
what
you.
What is
Primetime
that
Parenting
blog, and how did it become one of the best-rated blogs to follow according to New York Metro Parents?
Thank you, yes. So this blog, yes, it was actually the influence of Beth Rosen, who in those days in 2009, I had a six-month-old baby, I had two older children, you know, not too much older, and I was in the throes of being very overwhelmed, but I wanted to do something. She said, you need to write about yourself. People are doing that now. People are blogging, and they're working with brands, and they're getting paid, and they're going on trips. And I'm like, really? Okay. So originally, this is something not a lot of people know, my original title was Shaitels and Strollers, because walking down where I lived, all I saw were shaitels, women wearing shaitels, pushing strollers. Then I figured, you know what, I have to be a little bit more mainstream, because would Disney want to know, does Disney know what a shaitel is? I mean, now they do for sure, or maybe they did, but I wanted to be enough so I could work with a brand like a Target or a, you know. So then I decided, well, I got married later, I'm in my prime time, and I'm a parent. So I said Primetime Parenting. So that's where the name came from, and it really encompasses the parenting part. But once you read the blog, you'll see that once you look underneath. Hold on, a young visitor just came to visit me. But you'll see that I only write about kosher food, or you know, you'll see a lot about Israel, and you're going to see a lot about being unplugged and toys that are unplugged, because I'm looking at the kosher consumer, at the 24/6 tech user. So I go to events, and I'm always looking to see, is it kosher? And to this day, there's still people who have no idea what that means when you go to a food expo.
Okay, what about the kosher feast, which has always taken place the evening before kosher fest?
Yes, kosher
what was,
feast. What,
aside from
yes.
people in the industry getting together, what exactly did you expect to accomplish?
That's a great question. Well, it's going back to the primetime parenting. When I was going to these big events, I saw that brands were having events around these events, like a dinner or a networking event. And I said, why don't we do this in the kosher world? Because we have Kosher Fest, and there's people coming from out of town. And back in those days, I believe it was 2010, was the first one I went to, Roberta Shear of Kosherai was tweeting. She said, who's going to be at Kosher Fest? And I said, hey, I'm going to be there. And I thought, why don't we get together? Let's have a tweet up. You know, people used to call it, Twitter was around. You know, can you imagine before Instagram
right.
and Facebook Live, there was actually Twitter and people used it. So we actually had like a tweet up. And from that event, in my mind, it was like, let's have a Manischewitz came to talk about their new product to an intimate group of media influencers, right? How amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that was way back in 2010. And then the next year, there were more people on the scene. But in addition to that, the brands or publications out there were also using social media. So that was the idea, to really let's all get to know each other, because we need each other. We're a special targeted market. How do we grow? We grow when we can collaborate with each other. So that was really why Kosher Feast started. You know, again, for brands to have kind of a more intimate experience with influencers. Because you know, you go to Kosher Fest, it's a big, big party. You
there
know,
are thousands
you,
of people there, and it's very hard to
people.
Meet directly, right?
It's very hard to meet, and I wanted to say, why don't we give brands who are interested that special exposure? So as you know, we've had some of the top people in the industry attend, and some of these people have gone on to be unbelievably successful. So that's the goal here, to say, look at these people, what they're doing, the media and the brand. So it's really how that idea came to be, is to really make those connections. And I don't know if you know this, but I think you do know this. I also did something called Sweet Up in between. And
right.
that was also in the summer, you know, around another big event that was in New York called Blog Her, because Blog Her was really over the weekend. So anybody who was observing Shabbat really couldn't make it. You know, in the summer, Shabbat starts
mm-hmm.
late, but it ends
right.
very late. So that was the idea. There were two of those that were done also. And it was just really the beginning of, and now today, there are so many networks with the kosher food industry and brands. I mean, I'm sure you go on Instagram and you see everybody from a Freund's Fish, you know, now has an account and sharing stories
mm-hmm.
and having foodies talk about what they're making. To some of the old school, you know, Manischewitz, you know. So it's
right.
so great what has happened to our industry, and it gets me so excited because there's just so much potential for people to do what they love to do. If they love to cook or if they love to be a marketer, it's endless.
Well, there is a complete explosion of kosher, in fact. Years ago, Menachem Lubinsky told a story on my show that he happened to be in Texas at a food show, and he saw one of the booths had a big OU on it. So he approached it to see what it was. And it turned out that it was some sauce for pork rinds. So he asked the owner of the booth if it could be used for something other than pork rind. Then the guy said, absolutely not. So he asked him, so why would you get kosher certification? Let's face it. Jews are not going to buy this product. So he says, because it gives me better spacing, better shelf space in the supermarket.
No!
So, which sounds very funny, kosher pork rind sauce, but still.
Right. Well, now we have, you know, bacon, so.
Well,
right?
Bacon, yes.
Kosher bacon.
Right. Right. Else is in the works. What else are you planning?
Great question. Well, there's a lot in the works. You know, right now we are working on Kosher Feast 2017, and I wanted to give a big shout out to Roberta Scheer. This year she is not part of the planning process, but she's still going to attend when she's here. And this year we are doing something different and very exciting. Naomi Nachman, who has been a wonderful friend to us throughout the years, she's been an MC and she was honored last year, has joined on this year to be a part of Kosher Feast. So that's incredibly exciting. As you know, she's a very big food personality, her radio show,
mm-hmm.
her Chopped competitions. She's a number one cookbook author
and
on Amazon.
Cookbook.
Yes, you know, and she's just fantastic. A real, you have to keep up with her. She's really, really has a lot of energy and is wonderful. And Melinda Strauss has what they call the Kosher Food Bloggers Conference, is now Jewish Food Media Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really wonderful is that this year, both events are in the same location.
At the same time or one after the other?
Well, they're going to be the mid-afternoon up until Kosher Feast. That'll be the Jewish Food Media Conference. And that will be held at the Jewish Children's Museum in Crown Heights.
Hmm. Okay.
It's a wonderful space. Because it's every year we've been in different locations. So we said, how do we make this
That's
easier
correct.
For everyone? You know, so, okay, it's out in Brooklyn, but we can get there, people can get there, and we have a incredible, we're not announcing yet, but food. People want to eat, they want to drink. So we have all of that going on as well, and we have some other surprises we're going to announce soon. But this conference is just such a part, like Naomi likes to call it, the trifecta. You know, we have Kosher Feast and Kosher Fest for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jewish Food Conference. So you have these events around Kosher Fest, which really back in the beginning I said I wanted to do what other big conferences were doing. You know, it's almost like, since we're all in town, let's get together in a more intimate setting and really showcase these different brands.
I was going to ask you who was the caterer, but I assume that that's part of your surprises at this stage.
Yes, it sure is.
Okay.
So that will be announced soon, but we definitely have some incredible things to share once we're ready. Because we know, as you know, how important food is, and also food that not only tastes good but looks good, because a lot of Kosher Feast also is eating and tweeting and sharing and using all of our social media platforms to showcase where
mm-hmm.
we are.
When you said about food that not only tastes good but looks good, let's remember Briat Savarin in his Physiology of Taste wrote that the first thing that makes us want to taste something is not how it smells, but how it looks.
So true. I should put that up.
That's the first thing that seduces the palate, the look.
Absolutely.
Then
and
we go,
you know,
for
with
the taste and the smell.
Absolutely. And that's why on Instagram I follow all these different foodies, and I love what they're doing. It's just so creative.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we're at. We're very visually focused, and you it gets more hits on a blog, on a Facebook post, on an Instagram post. It's about the picture.
Absolutely. The picture has to be nice enough that you want to grab into the monitor to eat it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The presentation is not good, it takes away a lot. The only time that doesn't work is in the cases of cheeses. The uglier it looks, the worse it smells,
yeah,
the better it tastes.
Very true. Very true. But, you know, as you know, with this, with people who are in the food business, of course they want to have an evening where they can really look and take images and taste and really think about, you know, this is good. This is, so that's what we like. And we like the people who join us as our caterer and other, as our wine, to know that that's part of it, because everything is, like, again, very much instant. An Instagram picture could go up in a second. We want them to be ready and think about that too.
Now, what else, aside from this particular project, what else, what other things is Esti Berkowitz herself working on?
Well, I have a lot of exciting things. Yes, yes. You know, with my blog being Primetime Parenting, I focus on primetime taking shape also. So, again, this is about getting healthier, eating healthier. And I actually, in the past year, have become a runner, not a marathon runner, but I do go every day for a couple miles. And I said, I never thought I could do it. In growing up, I could never do the 440, whatever it was. I couldn't even go around once. Now I push myself, and I want to inspire others to not be afraid to take that step and do something that they've always been afraid of. In fact, prime time also translates into it's never too late. So as my children get older and I'm out of the diaper phase, you know, which is a lot of how the mommy blogs, you know, were starting, or a lot of my earlier content about bottles and diapers and onesies and, you know, all of the accoutrements to babyhood. Now I have to think about, now we're getting older, you know, and I'm also a prime time parent, so I'm not in my 30s. As if you couldn't tell, you know. But I want to talk about, like, prime time, you know. Like, I'll be 50 next year, but, like, who's to say that has to be, oh, I'm 50. I think 40 is the new 30, you know. So 50 is the new 40. And I just think every year you just improve and live your prime time. So, again, I have some projects in the works focusing on travel. I have a lot of things I'm going to be putting together on travel, because that's what we like to do, places to go. This summer I had some opportunities to see things, so I like to bring that to my readers and also touch on the kosher piece and everything as well. You know, okay, you want to go here, but where are you going to eat? How are you going to navigate the kosher challenges in different locations? So we have that going on, which is very exciting in the future. And of course, you know, I also, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I also love to work with brands, companies, and strategize with them on their social media plan. I've done this over the years, and I continue to do it, and I really, really enjoy it. And I think it comes from, my father was a creative director, and that creative thing has, like, come into me. So, like, I love brainstorming, looking at a big board and just laying everything out and looking at how a brand can really achieve their goals using social media.
Could you tell us what are some of the brands that you worked with?
Sure. So there were a couple food brands I had worked with. For example, Beyond Meat. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay, so this is a total plant-based product. Now, it has since lost its texture, but what we did together was incorporate, for example, using this product and making a meal that the kids actually thought that it was meat, but it wasn't. So it was really like a challenge. So I decided to come up with this idea and present it to them and say, look, let's see how we could disguise the meat and make tacos. And the kids were so confused, even my husband. They had no idea that this was actually not real meat. So, again, you know, talking to the brand and saying, look, for the kosher market, this is a big deal, this meat. We could make things that otherwise we couldn't have. So I came up with that type of, let's say, blog post, and then, of course, you know, putting it on all the social channels that I have and sharing it with the community. So, again, it's taking a brand that isn't necessarily looking at the kosher market and then making them realize, but this is how you can look at that market, and not just kosher, but also the people who are vegetarian. So
right.
That's how I get strategic and creative with these different brands. It's just too bad that they did not keep their kosher hexer. It was just last year that everybody was raving about it.
Any
but again,
other
we have
such
other
examples?
Sure. Well, I have in my travel example, driving around a Ford Edge car, and I wanted to show a family vacation using this car. So I worked with Ford on that. We took a week-long road trip, and within that, encompassing how we all fit in the car, using creative backdrops, and creating a story. Again, we become storytellers, and that's something I've always loved. My dad was a great storyteller. And today, with our platforms, we can take people on our journeys with us. So that's something that I've been doing a lot lately. In fact, last winter, I had a Kia that I drove in Florida. So I showed how we were in one part of the state and we drove to another part of the state, and of course the features of the car and how it pertains to a family. It is so much fun. That's one of my favorite things to do, is the travel piece. You know, and working with travel brands, the Hyatt, actually at the Orlando airport, they worked with me on a stay. I stayed overnight, and then I showed different features of the hotel, the swimming pool. Again, travel is such a wonderful part of where I'm going with my blog, because it's such a passion for me. And if you look around on the web and social media, there's so many people doing this, but there's such a market for it, because how else do you see what's going on in another part of the world? You can read about it,
right,
but when you see it in somebody's story, you're like, oh, wait, I want to go there. What is that place? You take a screenshot with your phone, and you can make your whole trip almost by watching somebody else. And as you know, the influencers out there, they have so many people that they're influencing, because they take us along with their story. And you almost feel like you know them. Now, in reality, you may see them out in public, and there may be a bit of an introvert, and that's okay. But at least on camera, they're very outgoing, and they make their stories very interesting, and you have a call to action. I want to go to that place, or I want to buy that outfit. You know, again, with fashion, something else I brought along as an Orthodox woman into my stories is the Hydro Chic, which is a sneeze, you know, bathing suit. And I did a whole post for them on that and how I liked it so much. And it just is so nice to share these things and then have people who aren't even Jewish comment and say, that is so cool. I want to get one of those too, because, you know, I don't want to wear a bathing suit. I want to be more covered up. So it's you never know who you're going to reach, but when they do leave you a comment, you feel like, wow, it really, this platform means so much to me that I could, like, influence somebody or educate somebody about my life or why the kosher thing? Because people don't know as much as you think about kosher.
Unfortunately, we are out of time just when the conversation was really starting to get... Oh, well, we'll have to do this again. I want to thank you for appearing on our program.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And tune us in next week when we will be back on Wednesday. This is Chaim Schmidt from The Kosher Scene. Good night, one and all.